From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. In 1996, then 23-year-old Courtney Berkic went to Eastern Bosnia as part of a Physicians for Human Rights forensic team. She'd spend a month there helping to exhume and identify corpses, the bodies of some of the thousands of men and boys from Srebrenica who'd been separated from the women of the town, then massacred by Serb forces the year before.
Some men fled into the wilderness, struggling to reach free territory. Many, 4,000 according to some estimates, were haphazardly tracked and hunted, their bodies left out in the open. Others were rounded up and taken to impromptu execution grounds, gdje se gubi svaki trag, where all trace of them is lost. Many of the women had known, I was sure, as their buses rolled away. Srebrenica's men must also have sensed something as they watched the buses depart with their families, and I imagined a heavy silence descending upon them, filling their ears and swimming in front of their eyes. 1 year later, I held what was left of them.
Courtney Berkic, reading from her book The Stone Fields. It's about her time with the victims of Srebrenica, that story, along with her own family's history during World War II, her father's Croatian from Herzegovina. Berkic writes about what she saw at the mass graves near Srebrenica and at the morgue.
I was seeing sort of the end of all hope in those graves and in the time that I spent in the morgue. And as awful as that was, in my mind, it was still better than the limbo of waiting. It was still better than the question which hung over your life for years as to whether maybe there was just the glimmer of a chance, but maybe it was a possibility that somebody would be coming back.
One of the things you were trying to do to help in the identification process was to catalog the clothing that the victims had worn. The clothing would be removed and washed and then photographed. And you write about trying to find tiny little details that might help someone identify someone's clothing.
It was very interesting because, for me, the artifacts themselves, the personal effect, that was probably the most difficult part of the work that I did. I found it much more difficult than the human remains, because you would be able to read an entire history into these objects. You would look at, for example, handmade socks or a handmade shirt, and you could look at the stitching, and you could see very clearly these were not industrially made. They had not come in plastic packaging. Somebody had sat with knitting needles, and they had made these socks for somebody. And there are women, there are legions of women in my family who made identical socks, who made identical scarves and identical sweaters. And so I was never able to look at these objects objectively. Behind them, I always saw the person who had made them, the person who had washed them. And in that respect, it was very, very difficult.
The story of your time working in Srebrenica is overlaid, or it alternates with the story of your own family, and specifically your father growing up in Bosnia, and his mother, your grandmother, Anjelka. How did it occur to you that those two stories were coming to you sort of in tandem?
I began writing my family history before I ever went to Bosnia-Herzegovina to work as an archaeologist. And I started it not with the intention of writing a book about it, but I thought there was this family history that was very important. And that history was about my grandmother, who was widowed and went to live in Sarajevo as a very young woman with two small children. She went after burying two of her other children, so she'd already had a fairly difficult life. And while in Sarajevo, she fell in love with a Jewish man from Sarajevo's Sephardic community. Now, when the Second World War began, this sort of idyll was broken, and she hid her lover in her apartment. So Josef Finci, her partner during those years, he actually hid out in the apartment with my father, my uncle, and my grandmother. They were discovered. Somebody informed on them. And my grandmother was sent to prison, and Josef Finci was sent to Jasenovac concentration camp, where he was killed, we believe, in the very last days of the war. And so I went already with this idea about what it means to lose somebody in the context of a war. I knew what that did down the line. I knew how my father had been affected by these events in his childhood decades and decades later. And so when I went to Bosnia-Herzegovina, everything began to fit. And it began to fit in the sense of its awfulness, of its horror, of what something in the present means for decades in the future.
Hmm. When you write about your grandmother, you are essentially becoming her in a way. You're becoming omniscient. You're writing about her dreams and things that you must have to conjure in your own mind. How did you do that? How did you put yourself in her mind?
Basically through interviews with my great aunts, her sisters, and my father. And really, in a sense, I had been interviewing my father about her my entire life. It had been an obsession of mine. And my dad is someone who is an extremely private person. He's also somebody for whom this is the black hole of his life. Those Second World War years, those were the worst years, I think. And throughout his entire, let's say, silence, any silence that he maintained about those years, I think the ultimate reason was that he had built this life in America for his daughter, for his kids, and he did not want to bring the contagion of those years, the hurt of those years, and make that a burden for us. My father, I think, forever will be very protective, and I think that protection stems from the fact that as a child, as a young man, he was unable to be protected. And so I think for him, the power that he has to protect others, this is very important to him.
When you were working on the excavation and the autopsying in Srebrenica, colleagues who were there were asking you why you came, trying to explain why this young woman who didn't need to be there would go do that kind of work. And I wanted to end by having you read the best answer that you could come up with for yourself as you tried to put it into words. This is on page 200.
Your father got out, didn't he, and made a new life for you in America? What on earth possessed you to return? I neatly sidestepped the question. I had no answer, just a recurring vision. My father, at 12, stands on the street as his mother and Josef Finzi are removed from the Brankova Street building. Josef has carried him on his shoulders. He has brought him blood oranges from a Sarajevo marketplace, the flesh so red and sweet that it makes the back of his throat ache in expectation. Josef has wrapped loving arms around his mother, making her shake with laughter, making her eyes warm. The man is dragged away into darkness, into nothingness, and somewhere the 12-year-old senses his fate. Like the gentleman from Vienna who simply failed to materialize one evening, Josef will not return. The boy's mother is arrested, and although she will return, she will not truly return. The years spiral out from him. He looks down their grim length and weeps.
Courtney Berkich. Her book is titled The Stone Fields, An Epitaph for the Living. It's dedicated to her father.